Justin Moore has a brand new album out this week, and if you haven't heard it yet, it's amazing. He was on the show with us, and we have a cool interview with Justin Moore that will be at the end of this podcast. So when you get to the very end, stick around, because you'll have a nice little talk with one of the coolest dudes in country music.
5 days a week.
Everything that's on their minds.
They have an action, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast.
All the podcasts.
Oh, you know what I didn't do? I didn't feed the music there. I'll feed the music down now.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. That's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
All right, so the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
I know. Yes, I know. Last week, y'all said I can't just pick a gold out of the blue and make it a gold. I had to choose that one because
I think you have. That. I think you knew you had consent on that one.
Oh, I didn't ask though. I didn't ask for permission.
Oh my gosh, Larry!
It's one of the best. So Big D has got to tell this story again because
Did you hear the whole?
No.
Thing? Okay. Oh my gosh.
Please tell.
Play the whole thing.
Okay, he's going to play the whole video.
I'll play the whole thing for you. Okay, so I had to take my dad's having issues with his foot, and so he calls me. He's like, "Hey, can you go with me to the doctor? I've got to go see get a second opinion." Yeah, of course. And so he met me here after the show the other day, yesterday, and we went to the doctor. As we're in the waiting room waiting to go in and see him, he takes his shoe off to show me how swollen his right foot is.
Thanks, Dad.
And takes his sock off. He's got nasty nails. It's the thing. And he says, he starts showing me his insoles. He got new insoles for his shoes. And he says, I got new insoles. You know how I know this one's mine? It's got my name on it. And he put his name on the underside of the insole.
Like it looks like Toy Story. It looks like Andy on the bottom. And I was like, says Larry.
And when I saw that, I was like, D, start recording. So I pull my phone out and I start recording, and this is what I captured.
These are $300 for these.
$300 for that?
Yep. You know what they wanted for them? $648 to start with. They paid for Sue's, but they wouldn't pay for mine because I don't have a toe missing. She had two toes. I said, I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
not cutting off a toe to save $300.
That story birthed the brand new, newest gold member of the family.
I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
Yeah, that yesterday, man. Well, we went to Starbucks beforehand, and I said, "You want a coffee?" No.
I just spent $300.
No, I don't. I said, "All right." I said, "Well, they got another strawberry lemonade in a can." Oh, I'll try one. And he said, "I said, have you ever been in a Starbucks?" He goes, "You know what? This is my third time, because I went with you one time in Cookeville, and then one time in Memphis. I went in there to get me and Sue a coffee, and I walked in and I bought two coffees, gave the guy $5, and he gave me 20 cents back." And I said, he goes, "If they're waiting on me to make themselves successful, well, they better wait a while." I said, "Yeah."
He bought two coffees for $5 in 2019. And he was upset?
Oh, yes, dude. I go, "Well, do you want something to eat?" "What they got?" "Well, they got all kinds of stuff. You know, you get like some cheese. You know, they like a cheese and the little ham that's sliced or whatever, little packages. So we can get some of that, you know. They got crackers. No, I don't think so.
There are no crackers at Starbucks. No.
He sees it as like it's like a restaurant. I go, like I knew the answer, but I still had to go ask because my dad asked.
Is this a like a buffet line?
I walk up and there's, you know, David. I go, hey, David. Yeah, hi. I go, y'all don't have crackers, do you? No, we don't. But we do have some like sweetbreads. I was like, yeah, no, that ain't gonna work. I said, how about? And I saw they have the sandwiches. I got him a sandwich. He thought it was pretty good. And so we left there and went to the doctor. And of course, you know, I walk up, we get called back, and I walk with him over there. And he's got a little thing, it's not a walker, it's got wheels. So, like, they have all the wheels. So it just kind of helps him.
So it's a roller.
It's like a, yeah, right.
Okay. So he's got a little scooter. I mean, he's just pushing along with him, and that's his. That's his mobility assistance.
It's just constant, man. It's everything.
Something new every
everything's,
day.
Everything's a joke. You know, everything's a little line. I brought my bodyguard with me. Okay.
And you're the bodyguard?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we get to the doctor. The doctor's trying to explain to him what's going on with his foot. And he goes, you know, well, do you remember did this happen at a certain time? Nope. How long has it been happening? How long has it been hurting? Almost. Right around about 4 weeks or so. And he goes, okay. And he goes, so there's nothing that he goes, that's weird. It just kind of happened out of nowhere. Well, I did have that lumber fall on my foot.
Is he being honest or is he making this up?
No, he's being honest.
Okay.
He goes, yeah, you know, think about it. There was some lumber that fell on my foot in the shed. And the doctor kind of looks at me like, I go,
yeah.
I can't see the look. What look?
Just imagine.
You're head like down.
He was like, can you help me? And
your dad's too much for me. Please do something. Run interference.
So, anyway, he would explain something, and my dad would go, do what now? He would go on a 10-minute spiel. Do what now?
What is it about all of our... Because my dad does the same thing. I'll be at the house. Now, usually nothing is happening. I'll be in the kitchen, and he'll be in the living room at his place, and he'll go, what? Yeah. I'm like, nothing, Dad. What? No, I wasn't talking. You wasn't talking? No, sir. Okay.
We get out there, and he's like, all right, what did he say now? Are you not...
No.
What are you doing? Just because I'm there, you check out? And so I have to your brain works.
I also you're like his bodyguard.
They told him at his last appointment that he had Charcot, which is a rare foot problem, or that he might have that. And he understood shark toe.
You told me he had shark toe.
Then he told us the other day, I heard him tell you when he called, he had shark foot.
Yeah, he had shark foot.
Had shark foot.
Yeah, we got it. When we got back to the, when they called us back, he goes, pretty sure I know it's shark foot. And the lady goes, I'm sorry?
First of all, sharks don't have feet. She goes, second of all,
she looks at me and like, same look.
Yeah, like, please translate.
And I don't know. And she goes, you mean Charcot? I don't know.
Look at her deciphering, though. That's pretty impressive, right?
That's very impressive. Shark foot to Charcot. Huh.
And he went to another doctor before this one. And this guy, like, told him, oh, I know what it is. It's sudden such. I pretty much wrote the book on how to treat this. And so, you know, you should, you know, we can go into surgery and do this. So we get to this guy, and he's like, yeah, so I understand that you went to, and he says the guy's name. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he's kind of, he kind of likes himself. You know, like, he kind of talks about, and Dad's like, well, I've known him for 10 years. He said he's a really good surgeon and good doctor and good podiatrist and all that. He goes, yeah, he goes, well, he said he pretty much wrote the book on the blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, this is like a pretty – this what you're talking about is really an old injury. Like, it dates back to Napoleon. Like, it's named after Napoleon's surgeon.
So Charcot was the surgeon?
No, Charcot, it's a different – we got two different things going on. But for this argument, yes. And so the guy goes, so, yeah, he didn't write the book on this. Because that would be like me saying that you broke your ankle and me going, oh, well, I wrote the book on people breaking their ankles. And finally, my dad kind of got it, and he was like, okay, well, I didn't like him down bad mouthing the other doctor. He's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I understand.
But he's also not 350 years old, and maybe he is. Maybe his doctor is a vampire.
You know, though, we went through something like this with my mom like last year. She had like a dizzy spell or something. She was outside working in the yard and didn't drink anything. She got dehydrated, and she passed out. She hit her head, and so my dad has to take her to the ER. Mm. And yeah, and of course they take her aside, like, you know, is he hitting you? And like, if you knew my dad and my mom, you'd actually be asking that question the other way around. Yeah, she's the alpha. Uh-huh. But while they were checking her out, they had her do like CAT scan or X-rays or something, and they found some sort of like growth on her thyroid. And so they were going to test her to see if it was cancerous, and it's not. But all she heard was cancer. So she calls me and she's like, I was with the doctor and they did this and I think I have cancer. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's telling me all about it. I'm like, okay, but they haven't told you that. You're going in for tests. They don't know that. Well, he said, I'm pretty sure it's cancer. My dad calls me like 10 minutes later. He's like, your mother hears what she wants to hear. All she heard was like, we're going to test you to rule out cancer. Nope. To her, that was the death sentence.
Cancer!
I have the big C. And I'm like, we have zero history of in our family. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't have been a possibility, but like she went from zero to cancer.
Yeah.
Because from zero to that's cancer. It, because it was selective hearing. She just, that's what she wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Oh.
How is she doing now?
Oh, she's good. She
broke her arm though, didn't she?
Her leg. So yeah, but she's been going to physical therapy and it sounds like the bones healed and she's out and about.
My dad's got to stay off his feet for 4 weeks. No weight on that foot. I'm like, this is impossible.
Oh.
Impossible, not impossible.
I want to say impossible. Like, that sounds better. Impossible sounds right to me.
No, it does not.
But it's
not.
It's way off. Impossible sounds weird.
It does sound weird.
Right? Impossible sounds better.
Impossible sounds like you're going into possible, and that's just not happening.
It is odd. It is
Let's check thing. Impossible. Everybody over there, impossible, okay? Okay, good.
So anyway, that was fun. He's... I called him last night. How you doing?
I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
I don't blame you, Dad. He goes, well, it is what it is, you know, son. I said, I know, man. I said, well, I'll make some food for you and a bunch of dishes that way you'll have something to eat. She can't cook. She broke her arm. Oh, she can hardly walk. Wow.
They're
She's
both
diabetic.
All jacked up right now?
I'll mess up. I'm like, he's like, well, I bought some TV dinners. I got 15 of those.
Dude,
so.
When is the last time you ate? I mean, honestly, when is the last time? Do they
TV
even
dinner?
Sell TV
yes,
dinners anymore?
Yes, they do. But,
listen, before,
you know.
When he was, what? Remember when he had his last little spell and he was all cuckoo in the head and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I had to go and
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that, but
I had to go
it.
Grocery shopping for both of them because, like I said, she can't move around. And so I went to grocery shopping and I'm reading the list and it's like, it's like I'm back in 1985 shopping.
Chicken pot pies.
Chicken pot pies, TV dinners, Hungry Man.
Yep. It's always the Hungry Man.
What is Hungry Man?
Oh, it's
that's the brand.
It's the XL version.
That's the one that comes. Yeah, you get the extra portions, and maybe you get the dessert in the middle
compartment. Okay, see, we were poor. We couldn't ever get, whenever we would get like TV dinners, they were always like the store brand. We never got like, you know, Hungry Man.
Oh, yeah.
So that's I go there. Great. I'm over looking at the Swanson TV dinners or whatever they're called, and they're completely full because no one buys them. And they've been there for who knows how long.
Right.
And I'm getting Salisbury steak and carrots and mashed potatoes.
There's always peas. I don't know why, but yeah.
Remind me when we're done, I need to make sure that our sales staff doesn't try to reach out to
Hungry
TV dinners for a sponsorship. Because
TV dinners. Yeah, I got some TV dinners. We should be good for a week is what he
now
said.
I've done the meals in the bag thing. Those are great.
Meals in the bag, what's that?
It's like where you just, it's like a whole meal and you just throw it on the stove and it's like some pasta concoction and you just heat it up.
Oh yeah. Those
are
pretty
awesome.
Good. Yeah. You, that, in the
yeah, it's It's in the frozen
butcher's
section.
Oh, and, I'll think of the butcher.
No, it's in the freezer, freezer section. You get it, it's frozen and frozer, and then you just throw it on the stove, and you just cook it, and it's great.
See, that reminds me of camping when I was a Girl Scout. You'd always have that one troop leader who would convince you they could make scrambled eggs in a bag. And so they would mix up eggs, and they like, put in your toppings, girls, and they put them in a pot of boiling water, and you sat there for an hour and a half hoping that the eggs would cook, and it was just gross. And so anything in a bag, I've been ruined. There's no way. I don't care how great technology is now. Nope.
Carson's not buying your story about making stuff in
a bag, telling me it tastes good. No.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I love all the camping. We used to have an RV, and when
mountain
the boys were,
house food, man.
It was so much fun to go do all the little campfire meals and that kind of stuff. You take an orange and you core it out, and then you put cinnamon rolled dough inside it, and then wrap the whole thing up in foil and put it on the coals and burn it, and you can't eat it.
We made brownies that way.
Did you?
Yeah, we'd core out an orange and you put brownie batter in it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I remember whenever Frankie was little and he was in Cub Scouts, we went to a camp out, and one of the moms was a Girl Scout troop leader as well, and like she made an oven out of a box,
yeah,
and then baked a cake out there. Yeah. I'm like, this is great. This is like real world stuff. We need to teach our kids.
How'd she make a box? What'd she make?
She
it
took
out
a
of?
Box and then wrapped it with aluminum foil. And I didn't know that aluminum foil had two different sides that did two different things.
Uh-huh.
Like I didn't know that the shiny side does one thing, the other side does another thing.
Yeah,
I'm like, I didn't know that. How did I not know that?
I know. Like you would think that we would all know that.
Like, what does the shiny side do? Is that the reflective side?
It reflects out.
I know that the reflective side keeps more heat in, but I don't know that the other side does.
Like, if you're doing a
opposite.
Baked potato,
it just doesn't work.
What's the
good.
Right way to do it?
The shiny side in. Shiny
oh, if you're going to do baked potato, oh, on the fire. Yeah, I guess you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just yeah, but it's like so. She did this, and she like coated the box with the aluminum foil, and she had it the shiny side, I guess, in like facing everything, and then she put basically fire and built the fire in there and popped a cake in and baked a cake, and it was the coolest thing I think I've ever seen.
That is cool. It's nice to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
I can literally hear my grandfather though in my head going, you don't need to bake a damn cake when you're camping.
Oh no,
camping.
Exactly. You don't need
kill
to bake
squirrel.
A cake. You don't need to bake a cake.
Come
when
here,
you're
I'm gonna show you how to catch
but
a fish.
But the point is what happens when the EMP goes off and we lose our power and you're just wanting a birthday cake. Because, well, you know, Patrick has a birthday on Monday.
Oh.
And if there's an EMP over the weekend and we drop everything and you're out of power, you want a cake.
You'll have your cake.
I don't need a cake that bad. If there's an EMP, I'm gonna be worried about things other than cakes.
So I should be a prepper.
I mean, I also got a rock, and I can throw it through a window at a bakery.
But the bakery won't have any fresh cakes.
Okay, but if it happens tomorrow, I can go tomorrow night, and the cake will be fresh.
Yeah. It'll
trust me.
Say,
trust me. I'll find cake, Bubba.
It's going to say happy birthday,
Bubba's trying to find prepper hacks for this problem. Yeah. Carson's trying to find, you know, looter hacks
just
for this
remember,
problem.
Looter hacks are only temporary. Looter hacks are like giving a man a fish.
Yeah, I don't know how long you think I'm going to last in this apocalypse, but I guarantee you it's less than 2 weeks, so I'm just eating cake.
Yeah. Go out strong.
Yeah, what am I going to do? Like sit here, I'm going to hunt for the vegetables?
Somebody,
what are you, new?
Come on. Somebody called somebody else. It wasn't one of us. It was somebody online, and Bubba was just in my office. I'm like, oh, he's basically saying that guy wouldn't last in the, in the apocalypse or in the woods. He goes, he wouldn't last in the woods. I'm like, dude, I wouldn't last in the woods. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't last in the woods.
I wouldn't
not
want
at
to.
All.
I wouldn't be comfortable.
I
wouldn't be comfortable that I could last in the woods. Nah. And here's the thing.
Take me. I'm saying take
me to
Jesus.
Oh, no, I'm sure you could.
I'm good.
I'm saying you guys could. You just don't do it.
I don't want to.
Dude, you don't do it. What
I
are
don't,
you talking
I don't.
About?
But there's... but.
I like
could.
How Bubba talks like he's hanging out on the weekends in his cabin with no power.
He's the,
no.
I swear, I'm a prepper, and you go, what do you got? Well, I can last a week and a half or two. Okay, well,
no.
I don't
like
know.
Kathleen Madigan used to tell the story of her parents had a cabin in the woods in Missouri with no power and no running water, and they would always say, listen, if something happens and crap hits the fan, just meet us at the cabin. She's like, I'm not waiting out the apocalypse with you and Dad in the cabin with no power and no electricity. I'll die in the city. I'm good. Okay. Yeah. No way.
Could you imagine being stuck in the apocalypse with your parents?
Oh, my God. I don't like my being stuck in a car with my parents for more than 30 minutes.
My parents argue about dumb stuff all the time. Like, you know, oh, there's too much salt on the eggs. I mean, they go cuckoo for that.
Oh. You know, the scenario I run through in my head a lot is not so much the apocalypse, but the purge, about where I would go if a purge happened. If I had to go for 12 hours to be safe, and I'm like, what if we came here? I could hole up with Bubba. Yeah. Like, I know he'd protect us. Like, I mean,
D's got guns. We'd be
right.
Good.
But then I always think about what am I going to do with my car, though? Like, I need somewhere I want to pull my car in. Like,
Park your car a couple buildings down. That way, they don't think that there are people here.
Oh, that's a good number tip. Number one.
Yeah,
that's
then
a good
you got to get from your car to here during the purge.
Well, I mean.
No, you prep. Again, Bubba's the prepper. Like, sundown's at 5:30. We are here by 5. You park down the street,
that's way too late because we have these slivers of windows. We don't have a lot of windows, but we have, what do we have? One window and a couple doors that we have to harden. Mm-hmm. And we could do that pretty, you know, efficiently.
I say if you're doing the purge thing, you don't go on the hiding defensive thing. You go on the high ground and have a sniper rifle.
Go offensive.
Because who wants? It's too much
Again,
work.
This place is not a bad place for that.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
That's true. We can set up. We go up on the roof. We got the stairs out there.
Yeah,
that's true. Just wait for him to show up.
Because people show up and then they're like, there's easier prey. I don't want to. We're getting
don't
killed.
Don't want to bother with
them. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he's not messing.
Speaking of my parents, this is what happens when my parents come over to visit. My mom sits in one chair with her laptop playing Cookie Jam or whatever. Okay, my dad plays solitaire like it's 1997. Okay, he literally plays solitaire on his computer because he never did that 20 years ago, so he's just getting into it, you know. And they watch Fox News. That's it. Every hour, and it, like 7 o'clock comes around, and it's the History Channel or TLC or whatever channel has a show where a guy is living in the woods
or
by
Gold
himself.
Rush.
Yeah, it's Gold Rush. Or it's like there's Naked and Afraid, there's Alone.
Alone is the bomb,
there's like
baby.
Seven different versions of this same show where there's a guy out in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a knife.
Have you watched Alone?
Have you watched it? Yes, I've watched it. You know why I've watched it? Because my parents come to visit, and that's what we watch.
It's amazing. Like, that is the best show because you got these people, and you watch them go crazy because they're in the woods, but they're solitarily, by themselves in the middle of the woods, and they have no one to talk to. So after, 25, 30 days, they start getting loopy and they hallucinate.
Start talking to each other themselves.
Yeah, it's great.
And they don't know, and they can tap out at any time. And I find myself watching this in my air conditioned house, eating a snack, drinking cold water, sitting there with my feet up, and this guy taps out, and I go, wuss. It's terrible.
It's a little cut.
But if my parents were stuck in the in the cabin with the apocalypse upon us, what would they do without their laptops and Fox News? I don't know, but it's not going to be good.
Well, my dad has a handheld Sudoku machine.
Oh, nice.
So you don't need the internets for that.
Machine?
It was like a Game Boy.
It generates its own thing?
But it was...
Takes for electricity.
No, it takes batteries.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Batteries. I got
that's the point. Like, as long as he goes, he can get up Costco in the apocalypse and just go raid him for batteries, and he's set with Sudoku for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to go raid the place that everybody else is going to raid.
I don't know. I watched The Walking Dead, and apparently nobody ever thinks to hit the big box
stores.
They went once.
Raid the pet stores. That's the one you have to do. You hit the pet stores because they have all kinds of good stuff. You can live off dog food for a short time, too.
God, of course.
What I was going to say is you got all the medicines there.
Yeah.
You have a ton of medicines. I have a list of what medicines from pets and animals are what they are for humans and the dosages and all that kind of stuff.
But Dean, you just let that go by. Bubba has a list. Pet medicines.
Let me see it.
It's at my house.
Of course,
Well, what good is it doing you there, prepper?
You don't have it at your house.
He has a list.
My girlfriend lives in another town. She's super hot.
Me and Susie are about to sing a song.
Just watching these punks pouring water on our New York City Police Department earlier this week. And you know,
when that guy throws the bucket and hits the cop, I'm like,
yeah,
that is.
No, you know, the water was bad enough. Don't get me wrong. I think they arrested three people in that.
Yeah. Just three? Just three? They should have arrested everybody on the entire block. But they should have arrested everybody who was filming too, because that's the worst right now. Is you see it all the time where people. You know, there's a car accident or like that airplane that crashed into the beach a couple weeks ago or whatever it was, or this with the cops. Everybody stops and they film it. And nobody gets involved.
I would have filmed that. The guys who filmed that are what led to the arrest of the people. So I'm not going to jump in and start fighting with these street thugs. Okay. I'm going to stand back, but I'm going to get it on camera.
You know, they're lucky. The thugs are lucky that it's in New York City.
Yes.
Because you've been anywhere else, you've been outside in a smaller town, dude, your legs have been twitching because they'd already tased you.
That's why they filmed it. That's why they were doing it. And they knew people were filming. They wanted the cops to fight them. They wanted the cops. They're provoking them. So then they can point and go, oh, police brutality.
Yeah,
because you tased the guy. All he did was pour water on you.
Yeah, man.
I know. I don't disagree with you at all.
I would still tase you. I'd still tase them.
I'm saying that's where we've gotten. We've gotten to a point where we got people provoking the police.
I'd be popping
in order to
knees.
Try to get a response that they can complain about.
Yeah,
that's
that
ridiculous.
Not a billy stick. What do they call it, Bubba?
It's like a billy club.
A little night stick. Snap it down. Oh, it pops out. Shoot.
This is why they don't let you be a cop. But
dude, I think everyone, like, no one thinks that's wrong. If those cops had tased them.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And those people, and they said.
In the streets.
But no.
I'm telling you.
Okay, yeah, but you can protest for anything.
Of course you can.
Most of these protests, I still go, if you had just done what they'd ask you to do, you wouldn't even been in this situation. That's the way most of those go. And this is even worse. This is way worse. And the other thing, look at these little kids. They got little kids with their little
super soakers
who are coming up there. And so now you're teaching another generation of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. You guys are going to, you know what? Y'all have a great future ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be good stuff.
100%.
Good stuff.
Well, this took a turn. Thanks for that.
Let's call my dad and see what he thinks about it.
Oh, I know what he's going to say.
That's, you know what?
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
That's what he'd say.
Larry, what do you think about these guys dumping buckets of water on the police in New York?
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
And here's the other thing about my dad. Like, that his voice is that deep all the time.
Yeah.
And
that's one of his higher moments.
Yeah, that was kind of high pitch for him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
I love how at the end, he does the dollars.
Like he kind of turned into Daniel's uncle.
Yes, he did. Yar.
Well, he was
saved $300.
He was trying to.
I'm not going to cut a dog to save $300.
Because that moment right there at the very end, that's him pulling his leg up to put his shoe on. So he's getting out of breath.
Oh, it wasn't impassioned?
No.
I thought it was a very impassioned plea of.
No, that was his diaphragm collapsing.
Yep.
But I would call my dad at like 2 in the morning when I was in high school or whatever. And I would need him for something. And I'd be like, hello. Hey, Dad. Hey. Are you up? No, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
We worked with a dude who was just like that. Randy would do that.
Right,
you call Randy. It could be 3:30 a.m. Hey, dude. Like, literally, weird. He would answer just like, hey, dude. And you're like, are you up? No. Oh, okay, man. I swore it sounds like you've been up for 12 hours.
No, I'm good. What's up? As well as you two, but I totally get that. That just seems like something he would do.
Hey, dude. That was always his thing. Hey, dude. Anything else, Bubba?
No. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, just a reminder to stick around for the Justin Moore interview. Justin is one of the coolest people on planet Earth. We're seriously big fans and proud to call this dude a friend. And I'm so excited about his new album. It is country and good.
Couple of things. Next week podcast is on Thursday. because we will have Low Cash joining us for the podcast.
They're going to be actually in here.
They'll be in here for the whole thing.
Oh, so, very nice.
Live on Facebook on Thursday and available everywhere else that afternoon.
And again, thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. You got to think O'Reilly. You get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day, and you don't even have to take off a toe.
I'm not going to cut a toe off to save $300.
That's right. We're done.
We're
Bye,
done.
Everybody.
Bye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to okay. the regular show
okay.
on the radio
okay.
every day. It was the podcast.
Justin Moore in the studio with us. The album is out now, Late Nights and Long Necks. And this song, the album has been out for 15, it's been done for 15 years. And right. now it is out.
It is, man. I'm excited. You know, it's we've had the single out for a few months now, the ones that didn't make it back home. Proud for that to be the first single and to be doing so well for us. And excited for people to hear this. Every artist says this every album, but I truly do think this is our best album yet. And to be able to say that this far along into our career is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've noticed something, though, about the album. As I'm going through all the songs in here, you got Jesus and Jack Daniels, Airport Bar, On the Rocks, Why We Drink. I mean,
there's a bit of a theme.
I like it.
A little theme.
Yeah. Well, does that surprise y'all coming from me?
No, not really.
What's Jesus and Jack Daniels? That sounds like my song.
It's the perfect country song is what it is.
Is there a train in it?
And mama?
In prison
and getting drunk
yeah. I'll play a little bit
there's
of that.
There's a few of those.
Oh, I hear the train sound. I think I can.
Mama put brother on a prayer list mama. When he got caught smoking that pot. Daddy found out first thing he could grab, and he whooped him with a Zepco rock. When we messed up, she'd fill us up with the scripture and a Baptist hymn. And she'd pray we'd be a little more like her and a whole lot less like him. Mama loved Jesus, Daddy loved Jack Daniels. She was red letter heaven, he was old number seven. Between the two of them, wasn't nothing they couldn't handle. Mama loved Jesus, Daddy loved Jack Daniels.
Okay, I like this,
That's
dude.
That's fantastic.
Is the whole album pretty much like this?
It's really super country. It really traditional sound. And we've made a concerted effort to go in and I mean, all of our music really has been rooted in traditional country. Especially comparatively to what's been out there the last 7-8 years.
Yeah.
But I really, about 2 years ago, when we were discussing making a new album, which is crazy it takes that long, I said, man, I really want to go do this kind of thing because I feel like this is what I do best and it's certainly what I enjoy doing most. And fortunately, I'm at a label who said, yeah, go do that, man. It's your name on the album.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's in everybody's best interest that you're the best Justin Moore you can be. You're never going to be Darius Rucker. You're never going to be whomever. You're always going to be Justin Moore. And I think if you stay true to yourself, and, you know, you're the one who has to get up there and sing those songs. Yeah. You have to be able to sell them and make people believe that that's coming from your heart and your soul. And
And we've always tried to do that, but as you guys well know, I mean, there's trends that kind of, and this is throughout the history of country music. It's not just in our careers or our decades that we've been in it. I mean, you do have to be smart about the music that you write and record and put out, and because there are trends that go in this way or that way. So you have to conform somewhat.
Why?
No, he means conform to the audience. The audience changes. He's saying, you know, not the music. He's saying you have to know who you're talking to. And as people change, you have to adjust with them.
And trends change. I mean, with the audience. I mean, they like this style of song because of one big song. And then everybody writes that kind of song.
But don't you feel don't you think that they like? They do that, but they're only that way for a little while, then they go back to what they really like.
Yeah, but a little while. I mean, I've been doing it. We've talked about it over the past. I mean, I've been doing this for 11, 12 years now in this capacity. And, you know, when I was, for instance, Small Town USA, when it came out, it was a big record for us. You know, I don't know that 6 or 7 years ago it would have been, because it sounds so completely different than I don't know. I mean, whatever, name a song.
At the time it came out, it sounded different, though, because at the time it came. Yeah, I do. Oh, my gosh, I forget the stuff that was out at the same time, but. Yeah, it was. That's why I think people loved it so much because it sounded different, and it was preaching that message of, "Hey, here's where I come from. This is the towns, and everybody's kind of got a town like that. That is their small town USA."
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. But what we've always tried to do is stay contemporary and in order to stay relevant on the radio, because you always have to evolve. Yeah, but I've never wanted to contradict myself, so we've always kept the roots in traditional country. And so as we, you know, take that sentiment and apply it to this new album, my goal was to kind of not worry about all of the outside stuff and just go, I want to make the best Justin Moore album I can make. And I hate talking about myself in third person, but I want to make the best album I've made yet, and I want to do it exactly like I want to do it. And I'm fortunate, again, that my label allowed me to do that. And I think that was at least our goal, and I'm hopeful and believe that we achieved it.
So. Yeah, well, the album, it's out. It's called Late Nights and Long Necks, and it is, to be honest with you, it's country. I mean, so if you don't like country, you're probably not going
to
like it.
I'm thinking if you're listening to our show, you like country.
Probably.
So if you like our show, you're going to love this album.
I hope so, yeah. For anybody, and you guys know as well as I do, there's a hunger out there for you know, the real traditional stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that are listening to all the old Hank and Waylon and Willie and Alan and George and all that stuff, and so hopefully we're filling that need for folks.
When you, Justin Moore, are in the mood to really dive deep, who is the artist that kind of says, this is the countryest country singer I've ever heard, and this is what I want to hear right now?
Oh, wow. The countryest.
Because there's some people that just, you know, that they're like the biggest influence, you know, like they're.
My favorite artist and our music's really not even that similar, and my biggest influence is Dwight Yoakam. And
I don't even see you as being a Dwight
fan. I don't either. I was going to say Johnny Paycheck.
That's really cool. My favorite. I mean, not even close.
You ever talked to him?
I have, yeah. We've played quite a few shows together.
Did he tell you a story about your hometown?
No.
That's his parlor trick.
That's his thing.
He's got this crazy photographic memory, and he knows a story about every town in America.
My hometown is 300 people, so that may be the one that he hasn't ever heard of.
Dude, he still knows it. He will.
But
I'm telling you.
I give you a real quick story that I think is kind of funny. When my first album came out, the first week, and you guys will remember, it used to be when albums were still kind of selling big, you know, now it's changed with streaming and all that, but your first week was a big deal. How many you sold the first week kind of determined the success of the album, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
Right.
Where you put all this emphasis on 1 week, and we sold like 100,000 copies or something our first week, and which was a big deal.
Huge.
Back then.
Yeah.
And so the guy who was with me with my record label at the time, we were traveling in a car, and he had worked with him in the past, and he knew that I was a huge fan. And he said, you know, at some point we'll have to hook you guys up, yada, 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 whatever. I'm still 23 at this time. It's green as a blade of grass, you know. And so he just picks up the phone, starts talking to somebody. I'm not paying any attention. And he goes, here, somebody wants to talk to you. I go, hello, it's Dwight. And I go, and he had explained to him, we're having a big week on this young kid, blah, 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 whatever. He's a big fan of yours. And I go, man, I'm about to crap my britches. This is
wild driving.
And then I get off, you know, we talk for a few minutes. I get off the phone, I'm going, the first thing you said to your musical hero is that you're about to crap your britches. Wonderful, Justin.
And you know, now,
that is
now,
fantastic.
Now you know he has a photographic memory. Yeah, so whenever whenever you guys bump into each other, just go, remember the time you told me you were about to poop yourself?
Okay, so so one of my next interactions with him, fast forward to the, I believe it was the 2015 ACMs. I had won whatever award in 2014, the New Artist Award, and I, so the winner presents the next year for that award. And so he and I coincidentally presented together, gave the award to Cole Swindell. And my suit that I was wearing split because I had cut them to go over my boots, cut my pants to go over my boots, and had split all the way from my ankles to a place where I wish they hadn't split.
Like all the way up to your thigh, yes. Like way up?
And so randomly, Luke was hosting, and he backstage helped me put gaff tape on my pants. And it was the inner side of my pants, not the outer, so right. It was gross. So that was one of my next interactions with him. So every time I've been around my hero, it's pretty much been humiliating.
It always has something to do with your pants, which is weird.
Ridiculous.
It's funny because Luke has told us that story before, but he goes, man, I was helping this kid with his pants. It was his child. And I had to, no, I'm just kidding. It's a little person joke. Try to get one in every time.
Yeah.
And you try to get more than one, Ian.
He usually does. That's a sad thing.
Yeah.
See, it's always going to be about height as long as you make it about height.
Listen, you're short. I'm fat. We can get along.
Hey, dynamite comes in small packages, buddy.
Okay. Sure.
Before you go, would you like to throw a fat joke in our direction?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. No, I'm a sweet, kind person.
What's the one he did that one time? He's like, what are you doing, sitting around eating cake?
Would you eat a whole chocolate cake?
Did I really say that?
Yes.
You're making this up.
No, it's not real. The tape. Would you like to hear it?
No, it was great. It was great. No, it was a good one.
Look, he's clapping for himself. He's like, yes, I got one.
Yeah.
You're so fat.
In over a decade, I got one in.
But it was pretty good. It's not a bad one.
Well, let's clear the air and let's let you get one at us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, relationships are just like you guys, Big D and Bubba. They just don't work out, you know?
That was your joke? That's a pretty good one.
We
actually
don't work out. So there's something good.
That's
there.
Not bad.
Neither do I.
That's not bad.
In some relationships. And we sometimes have worked out.
Man, hey, seriously, congrats on the album, man. I know you put a lot of work into it, and it sounds great.
Thank you.
If you're listening, you're like, man, I love country music, and you like Justin, you're gonna, even if you don't like Justin, you're gonna love this. It's legit, y'all. Legit country album. It's called Late Nights and Long Necks from Justin Moore. Good to see you again, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all having me. We'll do.